Let's all stand. Welcome to the Wednesday evening service. We're going to sing Make Me a Blessing. And that's what we ought to be doing, try to be a blessing to folks.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad.
Father, we ask as we do every service that you'd meet with us. We ask that you'd do your work through the rest of the singing and the special. And the Lord, I ask for your power as we preach, Lord, that the word of God might go out. There's one lost, they might hear and be saved. And for the rest of us, we might hear something tonight that'll help us grow. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, we're singing He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, oh blessed. Says God through joy.
right. We, since the COVID, we haven't been greeting the visitors, but we do have a young man viz with us, Jose, right? Last name's Luna, so make sure you go by and say hi to him. We don't want you up in his face because we don't want him to have to worry about that. But again, don't go by and say hi. Good to have him this evening. Don't forget to continue to pray for the Lira family. We buried Max's mom on last Friday. And then again, she was expected 2 or 3 weeks ago. They thought she would be recovering. And then the day that she went in to get her first chemotherapy, that was when the doctor said we need to put her on hospice and let the family know she has just a day or two to live. And she did exactly that. She lived a day or two and then passed. She was saved. So, again, that's a blessing. But the fact that she went so quickly, some of the family members did not get to they thought she had longer because what the doctors had told them earlier, but she went downhill very quickly. So pray for the Lira family. Don't forget to pray for baby Robert. He is home, doing well. When he first was born last week, he had some fluid in his lungs, and then because they put him down in the NICO unit, then he was on. They had to keep him there for several days because of the fact that they worry about the different diseases and stuff there, and so he was under quarantine for a short time, and then once that was the most of the fluid was gone and the oxygen he was taken off the oxygen, then he had to eat so much. He had to eat an ounce every feeding for 48 hours. He passed that test, and him and mom are at home, so they're doing well. So keep praying for them. Also, don't forget to pray for Preacher. He said Sunday, I haven't talked to him since then, but so when I talked to him Friday or Saturday, he had a cough, but he feels well, but he just had a cough, and again, we've tried to make it where if anyone has any symptoms of COVID, we'd rather err on the side of safety than the other way. Continue to pray for the Wallace family. Pray for Gladys. Deanna, Brother Prairie and Mrs. Prairie's daughter, is at home. Went home Friday of last week. She is still recovering. And if you heard Brother Taylor's message the other day, he said he got back on his feet fairly after the hospital, but it took him a while to get back to 100%. So she's not back to 100%. She is still really wore out and recovering. And also while she was in there, they realized she had she already knew she had a problem with her sugar. Now she has to give herself insulin shots twice a day, and her sugar is still up higher than it should be, so pray for her. Don't forget to pray for the president and all the stuff going on. There are two forms out on the table out there. There's this form that gives you all the information about the president. Then there's this form that gives you the information about some of the other men and women. Now, again, some of them, the ones that says not evaluated, means we don't have any information on them. You'll find that we have some very conservative people. We also have some folks that aren't very conservative. On some of it, there's the best you could get was a moderate. And again, that's on with all the parties involved, Republican, Democrat, or Libertarian. So sometimes it's hard to find a good man or woman these days. But again, make sure you vote. How many of you have already voted? Brother Block has too. Mrs. Block, and he went on, Monday. It's my day off, so we went to Monday and voted. Didn't have to stand in line, but about 30 minutes. I know some of the folks had to stand in line longer than that. But again, I don't know what the day of election will be, so I think probably even 30 minutes or an hour is probably going to be less than you will be standing in line on election day. So please make sure you vote. And again, you got to make sure you look at the issues before you vote. It's a pretty clear choice. One, if you take the right position on abortion, it's pretty clear. Two, if you take the right position on whether we want to have law and order, it's pretty clear about who backs the blue and who does not. And again, then it's also clear about some other stuff as well. But again, most of you know I don't make any. I have a hat that tells you who I'm voting for. I have a face mask that tells you who I'm voting for. I have a bumper sticker on the back of my van that tells you who I'm voting for. I'm not real shy, needless to say. Again, you say, Brother Block, what if I'm going to vote for someone you wouldn't agree with? I still want you to vote because that's your responsibility as a United States citizen. That's where you stand up and have your say. There's not a lot of times we can have our say, but that's the one time every 2 years that we can have a say about something. And so, again, my daddy used to say, if you don't vote, then don't complain after the election if it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. So, again, please make sure you get out and vote. And, by the way, you ought to encourage others to vote as well. I cannot believe, and, again, I hope the polls are incorrect, and they usually are, But when I listened on the way in today, a couple weeks ago, they said that Mr. Trump has only had 5% in Texas. Now it's supposedly even up. I don't know how that is so, but you do know this. We do have some very liberal towns in Texas. Right. Houston is very liberal. Austin is very liberal. San Antonio is becoming very liberal. Dallas is very liberal. When you figure that, it takes a lot of country folks and conservative folks to overpower all the numbers of folks in those big cities. So, again, if you've ever noticed New York, most of you probably would think that New York would be a very liberal state. How many of you ever looked at the New York vote and when the vote night comes out? If you notice, all the state is what color? Red. All because of New York City, all the rest of the state basically votes red, but they can't overpower New York City and a couple of the big cities that actually, because of the massive numbers of people that are liberal, but 90% of the state is red, but then that one big blue spot makes a big difference in the votes. And if you wonder if your vote matters, it can. Last election, there were some states, I'm not talking about a city, I'm talking about some states, the number was less than, was several thousand as far as who won or lost. And so again, your vote does make a difference, so please make sure you vote. Don't forget the stuff going on this week. It means tomorrow night, soul winning at 6:45. Friday night, we'll play Ultimate Frisbee here at the church starting at 6 and go till 7:30. Then Saturday, we have bus visitation at 9:30. And then Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:45, church at 10:50. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock for the evening service. As I mentioned, keep preaching prayer that he gets back up and around. He wants to get back in the pulpit, just needs to get well so he can do so. Mr. Sells, you got a microphone tonight? All right, let's do this. We got just a couple minutes. So anyone over in this section, since he's already over there, anyone over there with a blessing? All right, come over this section here. Anyone in this middle section with a blessing? Mrs. Coops?
I've been blessed to be able to help the Smiths with their brand new baby, Robert.
I don't remember that. I have the poundage and the length and all that stuff. I know that you ladies keep up with that kind of stuff. I do not. I know he's about this big, and that's about all I know. So, anyone else in this section with a blessing? Anyone else? Anyone with a blessing? Mr. Sean?
The little bit of rain that we got the other day was a blessing.
Yeah, it didn't rain much, but it rained a little bit. Anyone else in that section with a blessing? Anyone else before we head over this way? All right. Oh, yes, sir.
I praise the Lord. I think I found my new church family.
Good to have you. All right. Anyone over here? Don't be shy. Mr. Sharp, you in trouble? Is that why you don't get to sit with the wife and the kids? I understand. I'm like that sometimes, too. All right. Anyone in this section? I'm just messing with him. There is some food out on the table. I think, I'm glad I noticed the Sharps. They brought some stuff tonight. I think there's pears. What else was there? Apples, bread, plums, and some stuff out there. So if you need some vegetables and fruit, or if you have someone that you know that needs some, you can pick those up, drop those off to the folks, and that way you can be a blessing to them. If you want to thank somebody, you can thank them. Thank you, Mr. Sells.
I'd mention one other thing about the vote, religious liberty. All right, let's all stand. We're going to sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt.
sing this last one without the piano, please. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed. Amen. You that are longing to see his face, will this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen.
Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of your heavenly gospel, Lord. We need this Recharge Wednesday, Lord. We need your word. Bless this offering you're about to receive. Give the preacher power and unction, Heavenly Father, and bestow upon us understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
How many have been coming to Sunday school and we've been talking about all these songs? How many have been coming? You've been enjoying that? We're going to be talking about Fanny Crosby again this coming Sunday. And then I believe Ivor Sankey, is that right? Ivor Sankey be the fifth Sunday. And then the last Sunday we're going to do that song right there, it as well. So looking forward to it, and I hope you are as well. All right, we're going to sing a chorus. We'll sing it through twice. His name is Wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. My Lord, he is the
Amen. I'd like to thank everybody for praying for me and Blanca. It was a blessing to have people that care for you and that pray for you and just keep you in prayer. Amen. Amen. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is a light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. When heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, whom took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless day, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was sanctified. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body laid, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever block me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Grab your Bibles, go to 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3 in your Bibles. We've been speaking for several weeks now, almost done. We still got a few lessons left. This was on character and seeking counsel. And probably the best example of that is the story in 1 Kings chapter 3. So we'll read that in a moment. Tonight, the introduction will probably be longer than the message. The message is short and points are simple. But I want to try to illustrate something. When we've talked about character, and character is defined, Christian character is defined as we do something often enough that we simply do right by reflex. Yeah. We don't have to think about it. We've been doing it. For instance, I told you I gave my kids three choices on Sunday morning. What were they? Do you know what they did all their life? go to church. Now, if you do it often enough, you know what? When we wake up on Sunday morning, you know what we realize Sunday morning is? Church day. I mean, we don't wake up and say, you know what? What do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? I mean, we don't have a discussion because it's always church day. You say, Brother Block, that really wipes out the weekend. Well, honestly, especially since preachers have been having to stick to an hour of sermon, the whole service, I mean, you get out a lot earlier than you used to, and then you have a whole afternoon, and then you come back in the evening and have another hour, and then you have again, since we have the evening service from 6 to 7, you still have quite a bit of the evening when you get back home. But the truth is, church will be a big help and a blessing to your kids and to your family and to your marriage. Again, going to church isn't the cure-all, but going to church helps a lot, and especially if you pay attention and learn something while you're at church. So character, again, if a person has character, it means they've been working hard to do right. They've done right often enough that they don't have to work at it as hard. Now, you're always going to have a sin nature. You're always going to have to fight the flesh. That's just a fact of life, fact of Christianity. But because you're a child of God and you've worked at it a while, living for the Lord is easier the longer you live for the Lord and the more right choices you make. Now, if you do right for a while and then you mess up, for instance, I mean, there are people in this room that used to drink. They used to drink regularly. When I say drink, I'm talking about alcohol. But you know what? There are folks in this room that haven't had a drink in years. Yeah. Brother Bajot, how long has it been since you had a drink of alcohol?
24 years.
Now, he said, I don't remember, we were talking one time about the different coins that they used to give out at Alcoholics Anonymous. But again, there are folks that, I mean, were drunk, and they quit drinking for a month or two or three, and they went back to it, fell back into it for a while, sometimes for months, and then they got out. I mean, bad habits are hard to break. That's why I told the young people today, it is not hard for instance, I told them, because of the fact that, now, I have plenty of sins, trust me. I mean, I'm not up here today telling you I'm sinless. I never have told you that. And if you've listened, I preached a lot, say a lot from the pulpit. You know, you're well aware of the fact that I'm not sinless. But I told the kids this morning in devotions, I don't have a problem with, I'm not tempted to drink alcohol. I never had to give up alcohol. You know why I didn't ever have to give up alcohol? Because I never started drink. I've never drank a drink of alcohol. I've never had to, I mean, it wasn't hard for me to quit smoking. You know why? Because I never started smoking. I've never had a cigarette my whole life. Now, there are folks, I remember years ago, we was at a Spurs game, and the fellow next to me said, oh, man, this is tough. Now, he wasn't talking about the Spurs playing bad that night. They actually were having a game back when the Spurs play ball. He said, when I come to a game like this, smell that cigarette, that alcohol, man, makes me want to get me a beer, throw some peanuts in it, and then have a good go out and have a good smoke. Now, I can tell you, smoke makes me cough. Alcohol, if it tastes half as bad as it smells, I don't want any. But the truth is, it is harder to stop something that you've been doing for a while. That's why it's important that we teach our young people not to start something, not to get into something, than it is to try to stop it once we start it. So character is something that, again, you and I can have. The older we get, it's a little harder to change our character. As the old saying, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. You can, but it's a lot more work. And again, that's why we want to teach our young folks to have character. And character makes you more valuable. Now, I brought some things tonight to give you an illustration. I have here two rows of nickels. How much is a roll of nickels usually worth? Brother Sherman? Any idea? $2. This roll is usually worth $2. Okay? Now, and a normal roll of nickels is worth $2. This roll of nickels is called a war nickel. Anyone have any idea how much a war nickel is worth? $1.41 per nickel. So this roll of nickels is worth $2. This roll of nickels is worth $56.40. Big difference between the two. You know what makes a difference? What they're made of. This one has some silver in it. This one doesn't. What it's made of. That's some rolls of quarters tonight. That's a normal roll of quarters worth how much, Brother Prado? Oh, Brother Prado, you have to be like me and my wife and sack up coins. Brother?
$10.
So this is usually worth $10. Guess how much this one's worth? Now, if you take it to the bank, it's worth $10. If you realize it's 90% silver, that roll right there is worth $180. It's worth 18 of these. Now, when I was a kid, it was easy. I mean, I would always, every coin I got, I would check to see what the year was on the nickels and whether the coins were silver or not. And you can tell the difference when you see the silver coins to the ones with the zinc. You can tell these are a lot. By the way, they even sound different in your hand. When you clang them together, they have a different sound. But the difference is what they're made of. Now, understand, if you and I have character, we are more valuable than a person who is characterless. Why it's important for us to have character tonight. We want to work to strive to have character. And we've looked at a lot of things about character tonight. We're going to look at character and seeking counsel. Notice in your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 3, notice we'll start in verse 16. Well-known story, but again, worth reading tonight and looking at. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And again, if you don't have to, you don't need, would have to be a mother once to realize you can tell your child from every other child. Now, to a person who doesn't know anything about babies, when they're looking at babies, they all just look red and squirmy. I mean, a bunch of little babies. But when you have your own child, you can tell your child apart. The other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Verse 23. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is living. The king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. The king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now again, he showed some wisdom. And again, it's important for you and I to understand that's why we get counsel. We get counsel because we don't always know the answer. For instance, if I hadn't told you the difference between these coins, and you just said, well, by the way, if you had a roll of these, and I said, I'll give you $10, you'd have went, okay, $10. By the way, I wouldn't do that to you because that would be very dishonest. But if you didn't know they was worth money, and by the way, you might have some silver coins in your pocket tonight. Some of you say, Bill Block, I'm going to check. Because actually, that quarter's not worth a quarter. That quarter right there is worth $4.50. Each one of those silver quarters are worth $4.50. Now, that's only 64 and before, because everything after 64 doesn't have that silver in it. Half dollars from 64 earlier is 90%. 65, 66, 67, 68, and 69 are 40%. They're not worth near as much, but they're still worth more than 50 cents. They're worth like almost $4 per half dollar. And a real half dollar, silver half dollar, is worth $9. And so, again, understand, it's a matter of what it's made of. And it's important for us to understand that there are people out there that will give you counsel. There are people out there that will tell you what to do and will help you. We'll give you some advice. But if they're not men and women of God, if they're not men and women of wisdom, you and I need not listen to them. That is not the right place to get the counsel. We're going to give you five things tonight in just a few minutes. We'll give you five things as far as character and seeking counsel. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer first. Father, we ask you tonight that, Lord, you just bless, use the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, notice the first thing, and we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 11 because this is a verse we often quote. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:14, a well-known verse, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, it's important to understand it says multitude. When you talk to, for instance, if you know anything about the Supreme Court, how many Supreme Court justices are there? Nine. You know why there's nine? Because there can't be a tie. So now, it might be 5-4, it might be 6-3, it might be 7-2, but the fact is, if everybody votes, it's going to be at least 5-4. There will not be a tie. Now, understand, when you get a multitude of counselors and you get a variety of opinions, you will probably... Now, for instance, you might find someone, let's just say today we were just talking about a job, one person might tell you to take that job based on how much you're going to get paid. That might be a big deal to one person. But most people are going to ask you several things. Is it going to take you out of town? What kind of benefits do they have? Do you have to move? If you do move, is there a good church there? Is there a Christian school there? I mean, they're going to. I mean, again, a wise person will ask more than how much do they pay, right. Because how much they pay isn't always as important as some of the other things. But again, when you get a multitude of counselors, you'll find that typically, again, if you have wise counselors, they will have the tendency, you'll find that they lean heavy, you'll find more votes on the one area than the other. Right. Now, we often use Proverbs 11:14, but notice Deuteronomy chapter 32 as well. Deuteronomy chapter 32, notice verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 28 makes this statement, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them." Because they didn't have any counseling, they were stupid. They had no understanding. Now, when you think of this story, these were two wicked sinners. They were called what? Harlots, because that's what they were. But you know what? The fact that they were harlots, they still had enough sense to go and get some counsel. They took it before their king and let the king make the decision. They didn't keep arguing about it. They took it and let the king make it. And by the way, he showed his wisdom there. Now, so the first thought I want to get across to you is this. Do not be guilty of never seeking counsel. Again, he said in the multitude of counselors are safety. He said the nation is void of counsel and they don't have any understanding. They are dumb. They're stupid. They make bad mistakes. And again, we should at least show as much sense as two harlots did, two wicked sinners did, and they had enough sense to still go get some counsel. Now, there's be a couple reasons why people do not get counsel. One of them is very simple. It's because they plan on counseling themselves. I'll figure it out myself. Well, let me show you what happens when you try to figure it out yourself. Notice Job in your Bibles. Job, we're going to look at three different verses that show you about counseling yourself. When you go to counseling yourself, when you don't obey the Bible and get the multitude of counsel, notice what happens. Job chapter 18, notice 7 and the last part of the verse. We'll read the whole verse, but the last part's what we want to see. Job 18, verse 7 says, "The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down." Notice in your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7 in your Bibles. Again, we're going to read the whole verse, but the first part's the part we want to see. Jeremiah chapter 7, notice verse 24. "But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart, and they went backward and not forward." They listened to themselves. They didn't get counsel from anyone else. They listened to themselves, and they went backwards instead of forwards. Notice Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5 in your Bibles. Psalm chapter 5. Notice again, we'll read the whole verse, but the last part's what we want to see. Psalm chapter 5, verse 10 says, "Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee." Now notice what he said, let them fall by their own counsel. When you and I follow our own counsel, it will probably get us in trouble. Now, most of the time when a person doesn't go get counsel, it's because they plan on counseling themselves. There's also a second reason why people do not seek counsel, and that's because they feel that if they ask for help, their problem or their weakness will be revealed. Now, first off, there's not anyone in this room tonight that's perfect. So you know what every one of us have? Weaknesses. Yeah. Now, not everybody knows our weakness, and the truth is, if you go get counsel from the right person, everyone's still not going to know your weakness. Right. There are people that don't get counsel because they don't want to admit that they have a problem. He can tell you that one of the things that the alcoholic people tell you is, we can't do you any good till you admit that you have a problem. Till you admit you have a problem, they can't help you. By the way, if you don't go to the doctor, now you know you're sick, but you don't go to the doctor. You know why you don't go to the doctor? Because you don't want the doctor telling you, what you have and giving you some medicine, or maybe you don't want a shot. My wife said the other day, she said she went to the dentist and they cleaned her teeth and now she has a cavity. And she says, I don't want to get a shot. I said, baby, as many shots as I've got in my teeth and you never cheered me on, you never one time tried to talk me out of it, you're going to go get that shot and get your teeth, get that tooth fixed. But again, I said, it doesn't hurt. Now, you used to. Some of you remember, now you kids have never went to the dentist when they had these, but used to, we went to the dentist, and they had these big old long needles. When they was over, they was pulling that thing out, and you're thinking, what are they going to do, make it come out out my cheek and out my arm? They had these great big long needles. Today, they don't have those big long needles. And they usually even put something on it first to deaden it before they even deaden it. Now, understand, there are folks that don't get counsel because they don't want to admit they have a weakness. They don't have to admit that they have a problem. Notice Isaiah in your Bibles, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, notice verse 13 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13 says, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" Now again, understand, if you and I do not get counsel, it's because we probably either plan on counseling ourselves or we don't want to admit to someone we have a problem. Now, I can tell you this. If you went into Brother Nicholas and said, "Brother Nicholas, I have a problem. I mean, I'm not perfect. He's not going to go, oh, really? I mean, he's not going to be shocked that you're not perfect. He's not going to be shocked that I'm not perfect. You say, Brother Block, do you get counsel? I get often get counsel. You say, Brother Block, you're an associate pastor. You've been in the ministry for almost 40 years. Yes, I have, and I still get counsel. I have a group of counselors. One of mine died a few years ago. Brother Craighead was one of my wise counselors. I went to him quite often. Brother Perry, have I ever came to you and asked you questions about stuff? A lot. I call Brother Taylor. I guarantee you, I talk to Brother Nichols. There are several other men and women in this church. And you say, women? Yes, there's some women that's on my, I mean, some of my counselors. Especially if I'm dealing with something that has to do with ladies. Because, you know what? I don't understand a lot of stuff about ladies. As the old saying is, I've been married all these years and still haven't figured women out. So lots of times when I'm dealing with stuff, sometimes I'll get counsel. Many times from my wife. There's a couple of the ladies in the church that, again, I will go to and get counsel from them. But again, understand, you need to get counsel at times. If you don't, it's probably because you're going to counsel yourself or you just don't want to admit you have a problem or a sin. And by the way, we all do. Number two, again, character and seeking counsel. Do not be guilty of seeking unwise counsel. Now, by the way, getting no counsel at all is almost as bad as getting counsel that's bad. Right. Notice Psalm chapter 1 in your Bibles. We often quote this, but notice what it says in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, you do not need to go get counsel from a lost person. You do not need, especially when it comes to doing right or wrong in your life. Because a lost person hasn't even taken the first step, and that was getting saved. Yep. Hadn't even taken the baby step. He hasn't even taken the baby step of salvation. Again, don't seek counsel from the wrong people. Notice Job chapter 22 in your Bibles. Job chapter 22, notice verse 18. Job 22, 18 says, yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. Again, you don't want to get counsel from the wicked. Proverbs 15, chapter 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. You don't want to get counsel from the wrong crowd. Now, there was a young man that sought some counsel in 1 Kings chapter 12. We're not going to read all the verses, but he went to two different groups to get counsel. Brother Taylor, one group was what? Sir? Brother Peugeot? His guys are the same age as him. And then he also went to the elderly men, like Brother Taylor and I, and Brother, he went to the older folks. So he went to some young men, and he went to some old men. He went to his peers, and then he went to the wise older men. The wise men said, because the children of Israel said, hey, lighten the yoke. The yoke your father put on us is heavy. Yeah. Lighten the yoke. I mean, knock some of the taxes off, man. I mean, give us a break. I mean, we're struggling to get by here. And they said, you do that, and we're going to back you. And I mean, you're going to find, I mean, we're going to make you some great followers. He went to the young men. The young men said, you tell them. If they thought your dad was tough, wait till they see what you're going to do. You're going to be a lot tougher than your dad. I think it was something like, if you thought it was like your finger compared to the thigh. I mean, we're going to be tough on him. And he was a knucklehead, and he listened to the young men. And he lost that crowd. They no longer followed him. They went and followed another guy. Now, he lost him because he got unwise counsel. Now, he got counsel, and he even got a multitude of counsel. The problem was he listened to the unwise counsel. So we want to, first off, not be guilty of never seeking counsel. Second off, we want to make sure that we are not guilty of seeking unwise counsel. Notice in your Bibles, Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31, notice verse 16. Numbers 31, 16 says, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord. So they, again, Balaam, they led them away. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, notice verse 13. In this case, Saul got some counsel, but notice what it says. Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Now, instead of talking to Samuel, the man of God, he talked to somebody else, and they told him to do this, and he did it, and got himself in a pile of trouble. Now, you don't want to just not be guilty of not seeking counsel, but when you seek counsel, make sure you're not seeking the unwise counsel. Number three, make sure that you seek counsel from a wise person as often as necessary. One of the reasons I like ACE school is this. In a regular school, in the classroom of a regular classroom, if a student raises their hand and asks for help, the teacher explains it and they get some help. But if they still don't understand it, you know what they don't want, what that student doesn't want to do? Raise their hand again and say, I still don't get it. Because then there's some students in the class that aren't very nice. You know what they're going to say? Hey, dummy. I mean, they're going to give them a hard time. In ACE, it's very simple. If you don't need any help, you don't have to get any help. You just go right on. I liked that when I was in school, because when I was in school, I was one of those students. The teacher would, I would have my history book here. I would have my reading book here. I would read my reading book while the teacher was teaching the history, and I would just try to keep up. And again, God was good to me. I was smart enough. I didn't have to listen most of the time, and I still made honor roll and still made good grades. But again, from time to time, the teacher would ask me to read, and if I hadn't been keeping up, I would not know how to read, and she would say, "All right, Chris, bring me the book," and I'd have to take her the book, turn in my book. Good news is the library had a bunch of them. I would just go get another one, and the next class I was back reading another book. But the truth is, what happens is when you seek counsel from a wise person as often as is necessary, what it means is if you ask a question in ACE, you ask a question of someone and you don't get it, ask again. I've seen times that I've explained it to a kid 2 or 3 times and they didn't get it. Ms. Reese explains it once and they get it. Then I think, yeah, fine. You understood Mrs. Reese. But see, sometimes it's just, I've had times that the student didn't understand me, they didn't understand Mrs. Reese, and then Sean or one of the other students explains it, and they got it from the student. And I'm thinking, why are we even here? I mean, the students could just be teachers. Now, the truth is, there are times you don't get it when someone explains it. Don't be too proud to ask again. Don't be too proud to ask questions. They often say that the dumb question is one that's not asked. You want to seek counsel, and you, by the way, seek it as often as necessary. Notice what Proverbs chapter 13 says. Proverbs chapter 13 says in verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now listen to me. What that means is hang around wise people, and they're going to rub off on you. I used to ride to work with a bunch of married men before I got married. I learned a lot of stuff about marriage. They told me a lot of their no-nos. I mean, a lot of things that got them in trouble. A lot of the things. I didn't get in the doghouse near as often as them, because I learned from their mistakes. I didn't even have to make the mistake. I learned from their mistake. Now again, you walk with wise men, you hang around with wise men. The Bible talks where iron sharpeneth iron. It's important that you hang around with the right crowd. They will benefit you. They'll be to your advantage. Notice what Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 says. "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get some wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding." Again, you want to make sure that you get some wisdom, and you get wisdom by hanging around wise people. Seek counsel from the wise person as often as necessary. You say, "Brother Block, where's the best place to get wisdom?" You know what? There's a place in James. Let me think. It's James chapter 1. I believe it's verse 5. You know what it says the best place to go get wisdom is? From God. And by the way, he doesn't mind you asking. And asking, and asking, and asking, and asking. Are you tired of me saying asking yet? And asking, and he says, "I'm not ever going to get on to you." Now, you ask your parents for something, you ask someone else for something again and again and again and again, they might say, "You know what? Stop. The next time you ask me for that, that's it." But the Bible says God won't do that. He'll never reprove you. He will never get on to you and I if we ask him for wisdom. So the best place to get wisdom is from God and from the Word of God. Sometimes you can't find the answer. You and I did not find the answer here, so we have to go to men and women of God and get some wise counsel. Number 4, characterless people have no counsel to offer and will find few people who will trust them. Now again, a person who's not doing right, a person who's, again, think about it. When I go to a guy that's in jail and ask him about how to go straight or how to do right or how to keep, I mean, now listen to me. There are some folks that have learned by their time in jail. But a whole bunch of them, if you notice, you'll find that they've been in jail several times. You know what? They didn't learn. They didn't learn from their mistake. They just continued to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Again, I wouldn't go for marriage counsel to someone who's been divorced 15 times. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Don't look like they understand women any more than me. Probably a lot less than I do. But again, understand, characterless people have no counsel to offer and will find few people who will trust them. And then number 5, and I'll be done. A counselor with no character may have good sense, but he or she may talk a good talk, but if you can't walk the walk, that's what matters. You know what James said? James says, "Don't tell me about your faith. Show me your faith." It is important for you not to just talk about the wisdom that you have, but by the way, show some wisdom. Show some wisdom. Wisdom in the things you do. Wisdom in the things you don't do. Wisdom in the things you say. Wisdom in the things you don't say. But again, a person who, there can be people that have good sense. But they actually, what it means is, I mean, I've known people, and Brother Peugeot knows this fellow I'm talking about. I know a fellow that was in every get-rich scheme you could think of. He was always looking for a way to make money. Talked us into one of them one time. And that one's actually working for a while, and it wasn't his fault. But, I mean, the guy that we got involved with and he'd got involved with, I mean, was a crook. But the truth is, this guy would, I mean, from selling encyclopedias to selling vacuum cleaners to selling this new thing. And, I mean, every month it was something new. Now, I didn't, what I always, my policy always has been, if you come to me today and say, Brother Block, I've got a really good product, and I think you'd be great at selling it. First off, I hate selling anything. If it's giving stuff away, you know what? I really do. I love to give stuff away. I'm great at giving stuff away. I really stink at selling. I don't like to sell stuff. I've had a lot of people say, Brother Block, you got the outgoing personality, you'd be a great salesman. No, I stink at selling. I'm great at giving stuff away. If you want me to give stuff away, I'm good at giving stuff away. I just don't like selling stuff. But the fact is, when it comes to selling stuff, I don't like that. I'm not good at it. As far as giving stuff away, I am good at it. When this guy, he had the tendency to always want to get me in on something new. There have been men that went in the church and said, Block, you'd be good at this. Here's what my policy is. I wait for a year. I watch them for a year. If they're still making money a year later, if the product is still afloat a year later, how many of you have ever heard of bee pollen? It was real popular for a time. You don't hear about it much anymore. Now, I don't know if it really was a great product or not. There were some that wanted me to sell it and tried to get me to sell it, and I waited, and you know what? A year later, they weren't even selling it. There have been a lot of folks who come to me with the different things, and my policy is I wait a while because I don't want to jump into something. I don't want to commit myself to something and put a bunch of money in something and put my life into something and then find out it ain't even around 6 months from now or a year from now. So again, you want to be careful because there are some people that have, I mean, they have some sense. They just don't have a good track record. They're very good at talking, but they're not very good at walking. So they're good at giving you advice. By the way, some of them don't take it very well themselves. There are men that actually can tell you what you should and shouldn't do with your wife. They don't follow their own advice, so they have a really stinky marriage. But they actually, I mean, sometimes they have some good advice. So again, you want to have character, and you want to make sure that the people you get counsel from have character. You want to make sure that they're men and women of God. You want to make sure that they're men and women of God, by the way, who's following the Word of God. Anytime anyone ever gives you counsel against the Word of God, run from them. Yeah. Anytime they ever give you counsel that the Word of God is contrary to that, I mean, the Word of God says one thing and they tell you something else, you say, but Brother Block, they're very successful, maybe in the world, but I'm not all that concerned about being successful in the world. I want to be such that when I get to heaven, I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm far more concerned about being successful and getting some rewards when I'm in heaven than making a big paycheck on this earth. But again, understand, it's important for you to seek counsel. Let me give you one last illustration and I'll be done. When I was, and this is kind of funny about seeking counsel. When I was in Bible college, I went to college when I was 17 because I got out of high school a year early, ran to college. I thought I wanted to hurry through college, so I took a couple years. I was taking full classes, took summer school, got married at the end of the second year, hurried through the next year, and then I could have finished up that third year. So I decided I would go get counsel. I went to one teacher, and they said, man, get out. Why stay around here? Get out. Get on out in the ministry. Went to the next one. They said, slow down. Stay here. I mean, you just got married. Spend some time with your wife. I mean, you're doing stuff here. Went to the next one. Now, when it was all said and done, I had three that said stay. I had three that said go. But I kept Brother Vineyard for the final vote. Brother Vineyard said stay. So I stayed that last semester and slowed down. But again, understand, sometimes, now they were all godly men and women. And by the way, in that case, neither decision would necessarily have been a wrong decision. If I'd already knew what God was leading, I would have just did that. But I didn't know what the right thing was. And there'll be times, by the way, that you might get a mixture of counsel from godly men and women. But that's why you ought to make sure. And I say this to people all the time. Get some counsel from other people and then get counsel from Brother Nicholas. And I tell people all the time, my vote counts for one vote. Brother Taylor's vote counts for one vote. And Brother Nicholas' vote counts for two votes. I want to say, listen to me, if Brother Nicholas tells you something, I mean, and I tell you something, and someone else tells you something, go by the preacher. You know why? Because he's the shepherd of the sheep, and God's given him some wisdom he hasn't given. We're under shepherds. And we have some knowledge, but we don't have that special endowment that the pastor has, that the shepherd has. So I always tell people all the time, I mean, listen to me, I don't have a problem with you. I mean, listen, talking to me, but go talk to the preacher. Yeah. And you say, Brother Nicholas is scary to talk to. No, he's not. If you've ever talked to Brother Nicholas, he really isn't. He isn't. He's actually easier to talk to than most people you would think. I mean, now, he may not come across that way, but he is. I tell people all the time, he's kind of like Albert Perry. He's just a big teddy bear. Yeah. See, you talking about the same guy? I am talking about the same guy. And if you've ever got counsel from him, you'd say, you're right, Brother Block. Amen. By the way, he's very wise. Most of the time, he won't even give you an answer when you go talk to him. Yeah. You know what he's going to tell you to do? Come see me in a few days. Give me some time to pray about it. I don't know how many times I've went to him for something. He said, let me pray about it for a couple of days and think about it for a couple of days, come back and see me in a couple of days. He doesn't even usually give me an answer right then because he wants to pray about it and go talk to God about it so he can give me a good answer, give me the right answer. By the way, that shows he's very concerned. He can just give me his opinion, but he don't want to give me his opinion. He wants to guide me correctly. By the way, that's the wise counselors that you need to go to. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize there will be times in our life that we might need some counsel. Help us, Lord, to not counsel ourselves, not to go to our peers, not to go to folks who are unwise, but, Lord, that we might find some godly, wise counselors to go get counsel from. The Word of God's a great place to go. The man of God's a great place to go. And the men and women of God who are living for you and soul winners. The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise, so soul winners are a great place to go. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be wise in that respect, that we would get counsel when we need it so we can make right decisions when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our family, when it comes to our businesses, when it comes to other things, that we would get counsel and be wise.